Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, every Wednesday. We welcome the Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, Rich Fitzgerald, in studio. Rich, appreciate you coming in. Always good to see you. There is a lot going on.
It has been a busy week since I was here last, and it's a lot coming up. Great marathon over the weekend. Obviously, the fallout of the storms, and we're going to have a guest on, a state leader who's going to be, you know, holding hearings regarding some of the storm preparation. And yeah, there's just a lot going on.
Well, let's start with this real ID, since I know it's only been 20 years since the federal government started this process, and that really came after 9/11, and then it kept getting kicked down the road, and then COVID hit, and then it really got kicked down the road. But here we are. Today is the day. If you don't have real ID, and then all of a sudden they're like, well, it'll just take you a little
time. We really mean it this time.
We mean it. But, I mean, that's good news for travelers in the short term.
Yes.
But people are encouraged. And at some point, they're going to have to draw the line.
It does it'll remind you about Charlie Brown and the football. Okay, I'm going to hold it this time. I'm not going to pull it away. Well, they did one more time. I know so many people, family members, who were so worried that were traveling and went out to Bridgeville to the office where you could get it and waited for hours because they were afraid that if they didn't have a passport – that real ID was the only way that they could get onto an airplane and maybe even some other things, federal buildings, et cetera. But it was really about the air travel, I think. And I think Right. You're having Bob Kerlick on to talk about
we
that.
Are.
And that will be great because the airport's dealing with this as well. I mean, they're warning people. I know Senator Costa and others have had seminars on all the ID things you need to have to take with you. So we'll see. They have kicked this can down the road, but they kept saying, this is it. May is it. You better get it or else. And then, well or else what?
Just what you said. Okay, I'm really going to mean it sometime in the future. But that's good news for travelers. And really, next hour, we're going to talk to Bob Kerlick at the airport. And our own Tamira Rush has been out there reporting lines are remarkably smooth sailing this morning.
Yeah, it's so far. And we'll see. And I think travel has been affected probably a little bit by some of the international travel, certainly with tariffs and some of the things going on nationally. We're coming into the summer travel season, which last summer, I know Pittsburgh International Airport was setting records month after month after month. We'll see how this summer travel season goes.
Yeah, we're only 3 weeks from Memorial Weekend.
Hard to believe, huh?
Yes, and The clock is ticking to open the new airport. Still going to happen this year, isn't it, Rich?
No question about it. I mean, every time we talked to them, I saw a number of them in Harrisburg the last couple of days. A number of us were up in talking to our legislators, and the airport folks were there, and very confident about what's happening. Flights are going well. The international flights, Iceland and British Airways doing well. The domestic flights doing well. So they're doing some good work out there.
I would love to do that Iceland trip. I talked to a number of people who did it out of Pittsburgh and loved it. Said it was like going to another planet. It was amazing.
Yeah, and Bob could probably give you the details, but my understanding is if you want to go internationally, and you can either do it through British Airways in London or Iceland. Iceland has an arrangement where you can do your connecting flight. Let's say you wanted to go to Rome or Paris or whatever. You can stay in Iceland for a couple of days and see that and then do your connecting flight. You don't have to do it immediately. So there's some travelers that are taking advantage of some of those kind of deals.
That said, let's go to the story that still is affecting thousands of people without power now, a week and a day after those horrific storm that's straight line winds of 90 to 95 miles an hour took out trees and power lines. Unprecedented, right?
It really is. And what we're seeing, these storms seem to be becoming more frequently and more impactful. This one was one that we've never seen before. There are still people 8 days later that are out of power. We actually had County Executive Inamorata on the show last week, right after the storm. She held a number of press conferences. Her people have been all over this county helping different municipalities do their work. Chief Brown and Director Shanley and others getting the word out. But we're going to be talking in a little bit to a state representative, Mandy Steele. Representative Steele represents some of these affected areas, but more importantly, she's the acting chair of the Energy Committee in Harrisburg, and she's going to be holding hearings regarding preparation, what went wrong, what can we do in the future, because these storms aren't going away, and we're going to need to make sure we maybe handle it in a better way than we have this time.
Always good to look at that, but in reality, if you have an unprecedented storm, how do you really prepare fully for that? But now that one has happened, I guess we'll learn some things.
Absolutely. And you know, you and I have talked a lot about electrical energy when it comes to the grid around AI and economic development and data centers. But you know, most of us, of course, the grid matters to us when we go to flip that switch and the lights go on. And if they don't go on, then you know what happens, or the refrigerator doesn't work, or et cetera, et cetera. So you know, one of the fortunate things is this has happened during a time when the weather kind of cooperated. If this happens in January when it's 20 degrees, or in July when it's 90 degrees, it's a much, much different outcome.
Absolutely. And we'll check in with Representative Steele coming up. We're also going to talk about the Conclave University enrollment struggling, a pandemic lawsuit, and finally come to a settlement. All this coming up with Rich Fitzchin, with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. And do want to continue our follow-up on the storm that ripped through this region a week ago Tuesday in the 4 to 5:30 late afternoon hours, and still dealing with power outages, in some cases over 3,800 in last report.
It is really hard to believe. As we were on last Wednesday, and the storm had hit Tuesday night, and we were talking about, you know, the storm and the power outages, and who would have thought a week later we are still dealing with that. And one of the people who is dealing with that is State Representative Mandy Steele. State Representative Steele, her district, she represents some of the river towns along the Allegheny River as you head up the Allegheny. But more importantly, she's going to be holding hearings in the coming days, and tell us a little bit about that, where, you know, what is the preparation in the future as these storms seem to be coming more frequently and more impactfully. Representative, welcome and congratulations, and tell us what we can expect out of your committee and in Harrisburg.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on. Yeah, today is actually day nine. The storms were on Tuesday, but it's the ninth day that so many people that I represent are still without power. And in many cases, those people are elderly or they are sick, and they're relying upon that energy to power medical devices. So this situation is just incredibly difficult and challenging and dangerous for so many people. Holding a hearing is going to be really important for us so that we can examine, we can bring the experts in, we can bring representatives from the electric providers in, we can bring in people who were harmed by how long it took to restore their power, experts from across the spectrum to testify in front of the House of Representatives so that we can examine what went wrong, where there is room for improvement, how we can be supportive from the government's perspective of the electric providers. We know these storms are going to happen again, and we've got to be ready the next time to get people restored faster.
Representative Steele, Larry Richard here. I saw you on television yesterday, and I was wondering what feedback you have gotten from the utilities so far, if any.
One of my major concerns is that the communication from the electric providers has not been great to their customers. We have some people who are getting regular updates and text messages from Chicane Light and West Penn Power, but we have many, many customers who are without power, who are not hearing anything. And that's going to be a really important point for us to examine, how we can better improve communication, because when you're without power, you need that communication. Number one, you're anxious, you're worried, you're nervous, and the communication is reassuring. We don't want people having to check the website every 5 minutes, and sometimes there's conflicting information there. We want clear, concise communication from the provider to the customer so that they can plan. They can figure out, do we need to go to a relative's house? Do we need to try to find a hotel? What are we going to do with our medical devices and our food? And so that has been a real problem for a lot of people. Duquesne Light is in regular contact with me, and that's good, and I'm able to disseminate a lot of that information to the people that I represent. But that information should be going from the provider directly to the customer. People want answers, and they deserve to get them, and I intend to do that.
You make a great point about the predictability. If you know we're going to be out 24 hours, 48 hours, or whenever the line workers are going to be coming through and putting the transformer and the lines back in your area, you'll know that. But if you don't get that information, you don't know it's going to be 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. And that predictability is important. And to communicate just with a representative who represents just one area, this was so widespread. I know I was mentioning to Larry up in Armstrong County, 40% of the folks lost power. It happened in Westmoreland County. It was all over the region. And, you know, some of these towns and towns that you represent, they might not even have the resources to be able to deal with the fallen trees and all the things that occur. So coordination among public safety and among public works departments can really be important. And I know County Executive Inamorata, her team was out doing a great job helping people, helping small towns. But I think these are some of the things as these storms again tend to be coming more frequently and also more devastating. It's something I applaud you for doing this. And I think there's hopefully a lot of good information, a lot of planning in the future that will come. When is the hearing and where will it be? And how can people learn about it and tune in and watch it?
So typically when we talk about scheduling a hearing, it's months and months and months and can even be a year down the road. But because of the urgency of the situation, I had a conversation last night with the chair of the department who handles these hearings, and we are going to get it bumped up and have it as soon as we possibly can. So it's coming soon. I'll share that information out with people in the area. Again, the county exec is doing a fantastic job. 211, calling 211 is a good resource for people. There is going to be some of this assistance available through 211 for people who need help.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Clearing trees from their property. That's going to be a big expense and challenge for a lot of residents. So they can get some of that help there by calling 211. One final point I want to make is that we have had ample notice from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and from the other weather forecasting agencies that these storms are headed for our region, that they're going to become more frequent and more intense. And so we have got to pivot and learn from this experience and make our communities ready so that our people are safe. The cost associated with cleanup from something like this is astronomical. We've just got to do a better job of planning. The linemen who are out there day and night are the true heroes. Every time I see them, I stop and say thank you. My heart has really been warmed by the stories that I've heard of people bringing them food and snacks, lots of words of encouragement for our linemen. They're getting it done, and I'm internally grateful for the work that they're doing.
Well, you're absolutely right. Those folks that have been working literally round the clock, some of which don't even have power in their own homes, and they're out restoring power to other people.
Representative Steele, thank you for your time, and we'll be anxious to hear the results of the hearing in the future.
Thanks, Mandy. Keep up the good work.
Thanks to you both. Bye.
State Representative Mandy Steele, representing the 33rd District, and she is also, again, Vice Chair of the Energy Committee, so this is in her wheelhouse.
Yeah, she's actually the acting chair right now. The chair is out on maternity leave, so Mandy's going to be running the show and holding these hearings. Great.
With Rich Fitzgerald in studio, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. Real ID deadline day apparently is going pretty smooth. We're going to check in with our own Tamara Rush and then Bob Kerlick out at Pittsburgh International as well at the top of the next hour. Meantime, Rich, you bring us news from around the 10-county area in the city. And the next conversation, you just told me, is the most visited place, a destination from outside in.
Yeah, people might think, what is the most visited place people in this region come to see? And you might think it's one of our sports teams, or the stadium, or Heinz Hall, or one of the universities. It's actually in Fayette County, Falling Water, which is such a regional resource that we have, and something maybe we take for granted, but goes back to our industrial age by the Kaufman family. People may not even remember that name because it's been a while. Well,
good point. Young people would be like, Kaufman's, what's that? But they were the prominent, you know, big box department store downtown, the clock.
The place. The place Kaufman's that... clock, yes.
So the last time the Rolling Stones were in town, I have a friend who's a driver, and he said he got the call up, and guess who wanted to visit? Mick Jagger. I want to go to Falling Water.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm sure they've had many, many celebrities and parties out there.
And it's almost a century old when it was built. And Frank Lloyd Wright, one of the world's renowned architects, it really was his signature piece that he came to Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh region, to build this for the Kaufman family and many visitors. And we have Justin Gunther, the executive director, and there, you know, over those years, there's been some degradation and some maintenance work that needs to be done. They're undertaking a major renovation this year. So Justin, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on this year, and what can expect at Falling Water.
Hey Rick, thanks so much for having me. That was a great intro to Falling Water. I should put you on payroll.
I've done the tour. I hope most, but it is spectacular. Well, everybody should do it.
Even, you know, it really is. Justin, it's inspired so many other people too. I know that Nemacolin and Woodlands, when the late Joe Hardy wanted to build a new hotel, he wanted to feel that Falling Water feel, so he built Falling Rock.
Falling Rock, yeah, inspired by the architecture of Frank Lloyd Wright, exactly. And it's such a pull to our region, like you all are saying. I mean, it's fascinating on a single tour that's going through the house. You can have someone from Japan, England, New York, Pittsburgh, California, all on the same tour. It's amazing how many people come from around the world to see it. Such a remarkable thing to have in our backyard.
Well, before you tell us about the renovations, tell us about some of the super famous people that you know that have come. Like I mentioned, geez. Mick Jagger, that's one.
And Larry Richard.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, anytime like there's a big concert in town or a film being produced in the city, usually those stars will come out and see us. I mean, I think the one that people may know the best is when Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie came. Geez, that's probably over 15 years ago now, but when they took their photo and at the iconic view of Falling Water, it went viral and was the most popular photo in the press that year. Pretty amazing the attention that, you know, those stars can draw to us when you put one of the most iconic houses in the background too. But we relish in having this resource here in southwestern Pennsylvania. And it's just an honor to host people from around the world to come and see it.
So, Justin, there's so many important, I mean, if you take the tour, the stories about the Kaufman family and some of the things that occurred over the years that are very interesting stories. But the fact is, it really, with Frank Lloyd Wright, who again, built so many things across this country that have become such national landmarks and historic landmarks. No pressure on you, you know, to make sure that this renovation goes on, because it really has for a century been one of the signature pieces that draw people. And we're going to have the U.S. Open in a couple weeks that'll draw thousands of people.
Sure.
I'm sure there will be people that will add a day or two and add Falling Water. Next year, the NFL Draft.
Yeah,
you'll have
exactly.
People that will, again, spend an extra day or two and put Falling Water as part of their itinerary. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about the renovation. What's really happened as the over the years that's happened to the property?
Well, you know, Frank Lloyd Wright was pushing every conventional notion of living and building with his architecture. So he was really trying to revolutionize not just how we use building materials, but how we live in space. So the building is complex in and of itself. I mean, a house cantilevered over a waterfall. So inherently, it's going to have some preservation challenges. So just as Rich mentioned, the house is almost 100 years old. It has its 90th anniversary next year. So just like with your own house, you know, every 25 years, you've got to replace the roof. Every 15 years or so, you've got to paint. So we're just at that kind of point in Falling Water's lifespan where we've got to address some of the major building systems of the house again. So we're in the middle of a 3-year project right now where we're replacing all of the waterproofing assemblies on the flat slab roofs of the house. We're repointing all of the stone masonry. We're lifting all the flagstones on the terraces, because some of those terraces are ceilings or roofs for spaces underneath them. We're replacing all the waterproofing underneath those terraces. Some of the concrete's deteriorated, so we have to replace that deteriorated concrete. And because we're in a high moisture environment, the water attacks the steel of the window and door frame, so we have to conserve that steel. So an involved and comprehensive project just to get Falling Water in good shape for the next 20, 25 years, well into the future.
I guess the big question, Justin, is are we as fans going to still be able to visit through this process?
Absolutely.
Good.
We're open for tours. So we're always closed during the winter months. So once Christmas happens, we and New Year's happens, we shut down the house. And then we don't open back up till late March, early April. So we use that window of time during the winter to really concentrate our preservation work. So I don't know if anyone from Pittsburgh made it out to Falling Water over the winter, but if you did, you saw the house entirely encapsulated in scaffold and plastic sheeting because we had to create these enclosures and heat them so that all the work could happen through the wintertime. So all that scaffold is now down. We're still working on some of the terraces of the house, but they're not impacting the tour flows through the house. And then next winter, we'll put some more scaffold up when we're closed and finish the job and be ready in March of 2026 with all the preservation work done.
Well, good luck and great to talk to you. And I hope to see you soon. I want to come back. And you're gonna be busy this next year too. I know that for sure. Thank you, Justin.
Thanks,
well, it's
Justin.
A beautiful spring green in the forest. So come see it.
Keep that great resource in good shape. Thank you.
Executive Director of Falling Water, Justin Gunther, on the Big K Morning Show.
And White News Desk. It is deadline day for Americans flying domestically or entering a federal building because a real ID is required.
This law went into effect 20 years ago. Congress passed it in 2005. The deadline for when it would be enforced has been pushed repeatedly.
Yeah, 20 years, Rich. But what's your hurry? And now today is the day, and they said, okay, we really mean it next time.
Has technology changed in 20 years? Is things a little bit different?
Oh, I mean, man. Yeah.
Unbelievable, guys. The travelers, by the way, without a real ID are being allowed to fly after some additional screening, I guess is what they're calling it. The process of selecting a new pope is about to begin at the Vatican.
The world will learn, everyone will learn at the same time, and we'll learn through these old ways of doing things, smoke billowing from the chimney that's been installed on the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah, this is a very big deal. A billion-plus Catholics are waiting.
Now, does DraftKings or FanDuel have a line on who the favorite is to be the pope? Can you do a block poll on the pope? You know, now, we bet on everything else these days.
Now you got me thinking about checking my app out. Hey, by the way, reports say a trade is in the works to send Steelers wide receiver George Pickens to the Cowboys.
So there's talk. And Rich and I were talking about it when we heard you mention it earlier that why didn't they do this before the draft so we'd get some more picks?
You know, I wonder if they were wanting to do that in the draft but weren't getting offers worthy of what they wanted. And maybe they figured that they would wait, and now they're going to pick on poor old Jerry Jones.
We'll see. Yeah, poor Jerry. All right, Paul, thank you.